Chapter 9. The gala performance that Dr. Bomenthal had promised Sharikov did not, however, take place the following morning, owing to the fact that Polygraf Polygrafovich had disappeared from the house. Bomenthal was plunged into furious despair. He called himself an ass for not hiding the key to the front door, shouted that it was inexcusable, and concluded by wishing that Sharikov would fall under a bus. Filip Filipovich sat in his study with his fingers thrust into his hair and said, "I can imagine what's going on out in the street. I can just imagine it. From Seville to Granada, my God." He could still be at the House Committee, Bomenthal raved, and went running off. At the House Committee he quarrelled so violently with the chairman, Schwander, that Schwander sat down to write out a complaint to the People's Court of the Hamovniki District, shouting all the while as he did so that he was not Professor Preobrazhensky's ward's keeper, especially since only yesterday the said ward, Polygraf, had proved himself a scoundrel by taking 7 rubles from the House Committee, supposedly for the purchase of textbooks in a cooperative. Further earned 3 rubles for his trouble in searching the entire house from top to bottom. There was no trace of Sharikov anywhere. Only one thing emerged, that Sharikov had departed at dawn in a cap, a scarf and a coat, taking with him a bottle of Rowanberry vodka from the sideboard, Dr. Bomenthal's gloves and all his own documents. Darya Petrovna and Zina made no secret of their tumultuous delight and expressed the hope that Sharikov would never come back again. Sharikov had borrowed 3 rubles and 50 kopecks from Darya Petrovna the day before. "Serves you right," growled Filip Filipovich, shaking his fists in the air. The phone kept ringing the whole day long, and it rang the next day too. The doctors saw an unprecedented number of patients, and on the third day the question was posed in earnest in the study of the need to inform the militia, who would have to locate Sharikov in the seething whirlpool of Moscow. And no sooner was the word militia spoken than the sacrosanct silence of Obuchov Lane was shattered by the bark and roar of a truck, and the windows in the building shuddered. Then came a confident ring at the door, and Polygraf Polygrafovich entered with extraordinary dignity, removed his cap without speaking a word, and hung his coat on the hall stand, presenting a quite new appearance. He was wearing a second-hand leather jacket, with shabby leather trousers and tall English boots, with laces right up to the knees. An overwhelming stench of cats immediately filled the entire hallway. As if by command, Preobrazhensky and Bomenthal crossed their arms on their chests, positioned themselves by the lintel and waited to see what Polygraf Polygrafovich had to say to them. Polygraf stroked his coarse hair, cleared his throat and looked around in a way that made it clear that he wanted to conceal his embarrassment behind a screen of vulgar familiarity. "Filip Filipovich," he said when he finally began to speak, "I have taken a job." Both doctors made an indistinct dry sound in their throats and shuffled their feet. Preobrazhensky was the first to recover his composure. He held out his hand and said, "Give me the document." The document said, "The bearer of this document, Comrade Polygraf Polygrafovich Sharikov, is genuinely the head of the sub-department for pest control, ridding the city of stray animals, cats and others, and the Moscow Department of Communal Services."
"I see," Filip Filipovich said wearily. "But who got you the job?"
"Ah, but I can guess."
"Well, yes, Schwander," replied Sharikov.
"If I may ask, why do you smell so revoltingly?"
Sharikov sniffed at his jacket anxiously.
"Why, of course it smells. You know, it's the job. Well, yesterday we were strangling cats. Strangling them, on and on."
Filip Filipovich shuddered and looked at Bomenthal, whose eyes were like 2 black gun barrels aimed point-blank at Sharikov. Without any preliminaries, he moved towards Sharikov and grabbed him by the throat with confident ease.
"Help!"
squeaked Sharikov, turning pale.
"Doctor!" "I won't permit myself to overstep the mark, Filip Filipovich, don't you worry,"
Bomenthal responded in a voice of iron and howled.
"Zina and Darya Petrovna?"
They appeared in the hallway.
"Now, repeat after me," said Bomenthal, pressing Sharikov's throat ever so slightly further back towards the fur coat. "Please forgive me."
"All right, I'll say it,"
Sharikov replied in a hoarse voice, totally defeated. Then he suddenly filled his lungs with air, gave a jerk, and tried to shout, "Help!" But the shout never emerged, and now his head was completely sunk into the fur coat.
"Doctor, I implore you!"
Sharikov nodded his head to indicate that he submitted and would repeat the words.
"Please forgive me, my dear Daria Petrovna and Zinaida...
Prokofievna," Zina whispered in fright.
"Prokofievna,"
Sharikov said hoarsely, gasping for air. "For taking the liberty..."
"Liberty?"
"Of my vile escapade during the night while I was drunk."
"Drunk?"
"I will never do it again."
"It again?"
"Let him go. Let him go, Ivan Arnoldovich." Both women started pleading simultaneously. "You'll strangle him." Bomenthal released Sharikov and said, "Is the truck waiting for you?"
"No,"
Polygraf replied politely. "He only brought me." "Zina, tell the truck to go. Now bear in mind the following. You have come back again to Philip Filipovich's apartment?"
"Where else can I go?"
Sharikov replied timidly, with his eyes wandering. "Excellent. You just be as meek as a little lamb. Otherwise, you'll have to answer to me for every single outrage. Is that clear?"
"Yes,"
replied Sharikov. Throughout the coercion of Sharikov, Philip Filipovich remained silent. He huddled against the lintel, looking strangely pitiful, and chewed on a fingernail, with his gaze lowered to the parquet floor. Then he suddenly raised his eyes to Sharikov and asked in a dull, mechanical voice, "What do you do with those cats that you kill?"
"They'll go for coats," replied Sharikov, "and I'll make protein out of them for the workers' credit program."
After this, peace descended on the apartment and continued for 2 days. Polygraf Polygrafovich went away in the truck in the morning, appeared in the evening, and ate his dinner quietly in the company of Philip Filipovich and Bomenthal. Even though Bomenthal and Sharikov slept in the same room, the reception room, they did not talk to each other, and Bomenthal was the first to become dispirited. After those 2 days, a slim young woman with her eyes outlined in black and cream-coloured stockings appeared in the apartment and became very embarrassed at the sight of its magnificence. As she was following Sharikov in her threadbare little coat, she bumped into the professor in the hallway. The professor halted, perplexed, screwed up his eyes and asked, "And who might you be?"
"We're getting married. She's our typist. She's going to live with May. Bomenthal will have to be moved out of the reception room. He's got his own apartment,"
Sharikov explained in an extremely unpleasant, sullen voice. Philip Filipovich blinked, thought for a moment, looking at the crimson-faced young woman, and then asked her very politely, "Would you mind joining me in my study for a moment?"
"And I'll go with her too,"
Sharikov said with suspicious alacrity. Bomenthal instantly appeared out of nowhere. "I'm afraid not," he said. "The professor will have a talk with the lady, and you and I will stay here."
"I don't want to,"
Sharikov said spitefully, making to dash after Philip Filipovich and the young woman, whose face was blazing in shame.
"No, I'm afraid not."
Bomenthal took hold of Sharikov's wrist, and they went into the examination room. Nothing was heard from the study for about 5 minutes, and then suddenly there was the sound of the young woman sobbing. Philip Filipovich was standing by the desk, and the young woman was crying into a dirty lace handkerchief.
"The scoundrel told me he'd been wounded in battle," the young lady sobbed.
"He's lying,"
Philip Filipovich replied adamantly. He shook his head and continued,
"I feel genuinely sorry for you, but you can't do that with just anybody, simply for the sake of your job. My child, why, it's scandalous. I'll tell you what."
He opened the drawer of the desk and took out 3 30-ruble notes.
"I'll poison myself," the young woman cried. "Every day in the canteen it's salt beef, and he threatens me. He says he's a Red Army commander. He says with me you live in a luxurious apartment. Pineapples every day. I've got a kind personality, he says. It's only cats that I hate. He took my ring as a keepsake.
Well, well, a kind personality. From Seville to Granada, Philip Filipovich muttered. You need to wait a while. You're still so young.
Was it really that same gateway?
Look, take the money when someone offers you a loan, snapped Philip Filipovich. Then the doors opened solemnly, and at Philip Filipovich's invitation, Bormental led in Sharikov, with his eyes roaming around in his head and the fur on his head standing up like a brush.
Scoundrel,
the young woman said with a glare from her smudged, tear-stained eyes and a glint of her stripy, powdered nose. Where did you get that scar on your forehead? Do try to explain to this lady, Philip Filipovich said ingratiatingly. Sharikov decided to go for broke. I was wounded at the front, fighting Kolchak, he barked. The young woman stood up and walked out, crying loudly. Stop that! Philip Filipovich shouted after her. Wait, the ring, if you please, he said, addressing Sharikov. Sharikov resignedly removed a hollow ring with an emerald from his finger. All right, he suddenly said spitefully. I won't let you forget this. Tomorrow I'll make sure you get the sack. Don't be afraid of him, Bormental shouted after her. I won't let him do anything. He swung around and gave Sharikov a look that made him shy away and bang the back of his head against the bookcase. What's her surname? Bormental asked him. Her surname! He roared, and suddenly he was wild and terrifying. Vasnitsova, Sharikov replied, looking around for a way to slip out. Every day, said Bormental, grabbing hold of the collar of Sharikov's jacket, I will personally inquire at the pest control department whether Citizeness Vasnitsova has been sacked. And if you just... If I find out that she has been sacked, I'll... Shoot you right here with my own hands. Beware, Sharikov. I'm speaking to you in plain Russian. Sharikov stared fixedly at Bormental's nose. I can lay my hands on revolvers too, Polygraph muttered, but very feebly. Then with a sudden, deft, squirming movement, he darted out of the door. Beware! Bormental's shout echoed after him. For that night and half of the next day, the silence hung thick, like a dark cloud before the storm. Nobody said anything. But the day after that, when Polygraph Polygraphovich, who had been stung by a dark presentiment in the morning, rode away, sullen and gloomy, on the truck to his job, Professor Preobrazhensky saw one of his former patients at a most unusual hour, a fat, tall man in a military uniform. The man had obstinately persisted in his request to be seen, and his request had been granted. On entering the study, he clicked his heels politely to the professor. "Have your pains come back, dear fellow?" asked the haggard Philip Filipovich. "Please, sit down." "Merci. No, professor," the visitor replied, setting his helmet down on the corner of the desk. "I'm most grateful to you. I've come to see you on a different matter, Philip Filipovich. Since I respect you so highly, to warn you, it's obvious nonsense. He's simply a scoundrel." The patient reached into his briefcase and took out a sheet of paper. "It's a good thing it was reported directly to me." Philip Filipovich set his pince-nez on his nose above his spectacles and started reading. He muttered to himself for a long time, the expression on his face changing every second. "And also threatening to kill the chairman of the House Committee, Comrade Schwander, which makes it clear that he keeps a firearm, and he makes counter-revolutionary speeches, and he even ordered his menial Zinaida Prokofievna Bunina to burn Engels in the stove, as an obvious Menshevik. Him and his assistant, Ivan Arnoldovich Bormental, who lives in his flat in secret and unregistered. I certify the signature of the head of the sub-department of pest control, P.P. Sharikov, chairman of the House Committee Schwander, Secretary Petrukin." "Will you allow me to keep this?" asked Philip Filipovich, breaking out in red blotches. or I'm sorry, perhaps you need it, to set the legal wheels in motion? Come now, Professor, the patient replied, flaring his nostrils in serious offence. You really do regard us with great contempt. He started puffing himself up like a turkey cock. I'm sorry, my dear fellow, Philip Filipovich muttered. Forgive me. I really did not mean to offend you. We know how to read documents, Philip Filipovich. My dear fellow, don't be angry. He really has completely worn me out. I can believe it, said the patient, entirely recovered. But what scum he is! It would be interesting to get a look at him. There are absolute legends circulating about you in Moscow. Philip Filipovich merely waved his hand despairingly. That was when the patient noticed that the professor had begun to stoop, and his hair even seemed to have turned grey just recently. Once the crime was ripe, it fell like a stone, the way things usually happen. Polygraf Polygrafovich returned in the truck with a heavy, nagging feeling in his heart. Philip Filipovich's voice invited him into the examination room. Surprised, Sharikov went in and glanced with a vague fear into the gun barrel of Bomental's face, and then at Philip Filipovich. The assistant was shrouded in a black cloud, and his left hand with the papyrusa trembled slightly on the gleaming arm of the obstetrical chair. Speaking with malevolent composure, Philip Filipovich said, "Collect your things now. Trousers, coat, everything that you need, and get out of the apartment."
"What are you talking about?" asked Sharikov, genuinely surprised.
"Get out of the apartment. Today,"
Philip Filipovich repeated in a monotone, squinting down at his fingernails. Some kind of evil spirit took possession of Polygraf Polygrafovich. Obviously doom was already stalking him and fate was already standing at his back. He flung himself headlong into the embrace of the inevitable and barked with abrupt malice.
"What's going on here, really? Do you think I can't get myself justice against you? I'm sitting on 16 Arshins here, and I'm going to stay sitting on them."
"Clear out of the flat," Philip Filipovich hissed cordially.
Sharikov invited his own death. He raised his left hand with its bitten nails, an abominable stench of cats, and showed Philip Filipovich a gesture of crude defiance. And then, with his right hand, he took a revolver out of his pocket for the dangerous Bomental. Bomental's papyrusa dropped like a falling star, and a few seconds later Philip Filipovich was dashing in horror from the cupboard to the couch and back, skipping over the broken glass. Lying stretched out on the glass, wheezing, was the head of the sub-department of pest control, with a surgeon Bomental perched on his chest, smothering him with a small white cushion. A few minutes later, Dr. Bomental, his face looking as if it were not his own, walked through to the front entrance and pasted up the following note beside the button of the doorbell. "Due to illness, the professor is not receiving patients today. Please do not disturb him by ringing." He cut the wire of the doorbell with a gleaming penknife, examined the bloody scratches on his own face in the mirror, and also the faint trembling of his hands. Then he appeared in the doorway of the kitchen and told the alarmed Zina and Darya Petrovna, "The professor requests you not to leave the apartment at all."
"All right,"
Zina and Darya Petrovna answered timidly. "Permit me to lock the door to the back entrance and take the key," said Bomental, hiding behind the door and covering his face with his hand. "This is a temporary measure, and not because I do not trust you, but someone will come, and you will not be able to resist opening up, and we must not be disturbed. We are busy." "All right," the women replied, instantly turning pale. Bomental locked the back door, locked the front door, locked the door from the corridor into the hallway, and his footsteps disappeared into the examination room. Silence fell on the apartment and crept into every corner of it. Twilight came creeping, vile and watchful, in short, darkness. True, afterwards the neighbours across the courtyard said that on that evening all the lights were burning in the windows of the examination room overlooking the courtyard, and that they even saw the professor's own white cap. This is hard to believe. Although, when it was all over, Zina did mention in her prattle that after Bomental and the professor came out of the examination room, Ivan Arnoldovich had frightened her to death beside the fireplace in the study. Apparently he was squatting down there, burning one of his own handwritten notebooks with a blue binding in the hearth, one from the pile in which the case histories of the professor's patients were recorded. Supposedly, the doctor's face was absolutely green and scratched completely to ribbons, and Filip Filipovich was not like himself that evening either. And as well as that, but then perhaps the innocent girl from the Prochestenko apartment could be lying. One thing we can vouch for. That evening, the apartment was filled with an absolute and quite horrific silence.